Sakta karmanya vidvamsu.
Sakta karmanya vidvamsu.
Yatha kurvanti bharata.
Yatha kurvanti bharata.
Kuryad vidvams tata saptash.
Kuryad vidvams tata saptash.
Chikirshur loka sangraha. Sakta karmanya vidvamso.
Sakta karmanya vidvamso.
Yatha kurvanti bharata.
Yatha kurvanti bharata.
Kuryad vidvams tata saktash.
Kuryad vidvams tata saktash.
Chikirshur loka sangraha. Sakta. Being attached. Karmani. In prescribed duties. Avidvamsa. The ignorant. Yata. As much as. Kuravanti.
They do.
Bharata, O descendant of Bharata, Kuryat, must do, Vidvan, the learned, Tata, thus, Asakta, without attachment. Chikirshu, desiring to lead, Lokasangraha, the people in general. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness and a person not in Krishna consciousness are differentiated by different desires. A Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not conducive to development of Krishna consciousness. He may even act exactly like the ignorant person who is too much attached to material activities. But one is engaged in such activities for the satisfaction of his sense gratification, whereas the other is engaged for the satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, the Krishna conscious person is required to show the people how to act and how to engage the results of action for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. So the devotee may have to act very similarly to the materialistic person, because we're living in the material world. We have to deal with the material situation. We want to engage everybody in Krishna's service, but we have to try to take people who are caught up in illusion, who are entrapped in the cycle of birth and death, who think they have so many material obligations and ambitions. And we have to take those people as they are and somehow get them busy in Krishna's service. Or more important than that, to make them want to serve Krishna. That's the real key. They don't want to serve Krishna. They don't want anything much to do with Krishna at all. And we have to change their attitude. So it's a subtle thing. You have to sometimes use the same material energy to get people to dovetail. This term comes from carpentry. There's a joint or a way of connecting two pieces of wood, a called a dovetail joint. Because it's not always so ideal to just join pieces of wood with glue or with nails. The better thing to do that an expert carpenter can do is shape the wood in such a way that the two pieces of wood connect without any extraneous joiner, and they don't come apart. A dovetail joint is very suitable to do that, shaped like the tail of a dove, like a triangle. And one piece catches into the other piece and they're interlocked. That's a dovetail joint. So we have to be dovetailed with Krishna consciousness. We're material beings. Our material propensities can be hooked up and linked up with Krishna by expert connection done by a pure devotee. For example, the people of the modern world are mostly interested in making money and spending it to buy things. They only work to get money. If nobody gave them money, they would stop working. And they use the money for their chosen forms of sense gratification. So how do you engage such people in Krishna consciousness? You can sit in your bhajan kutir in some holy place and chant Hare Krishna. Very good, you'll go back to Godhead. But what about all these people caught up in materialism? What does it do for them? Of course, you purify the atmosphere by chanting Hare Krishna. So if you're Haridas Thakur, and you can chant that potently and that purely, then you can save the world by sitting in your bhajan kutir. But for most of us, we don't have that potency, and someone has to go and save these people. So Prabhupada left his bhajan kutir in Vrindavan. He was chanting. Don't think that Prabhupada was just sitting there planning how to make money. He was sitting there in Vrindavan, chanting with great love for Krishna, but also constantly meditating on, my guru has given me this order to go to the Western world and preach in the English language. I don't know how I can do this. I have no money to travel, no support, but I have to someday carry out this mission. And he was constantly meditating on that. And then he went to the West. And he didn't like his god brothers before him who had gone to Europe, just make a few lectures in some universities and go shake hands with the King of England and go back home to India after that. Prabhupada figured out how to actually dovetail, how to actually engage these materialists in Krishna's service. They want to buy and sell? Okay, we'll sell them Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. I'll send my disciples out by the thousands to sell these books. Everyone in this world, in this modern world, is just buying and selling commodities. Well, I'll give them the best commodity, Srimad Bhagavatam, and let them sell and buy that. Then they'll benefit. So Prabhupada organized his disciples to distribute books. Expert dovetailing, the materialistic commercial propensities of the Western people in doing something transcendental for Krishna. Highest service. Using material passionate energy in Krishna's service. This is expertise. So in the same way that materialistic attached people work, the devotees can work with the same passionate enthusiasm. Even do the same exact thing. Driving cars around, but driving those cars around not to make money for sense gratification, but to preach Krishna consciousness. Drive the same cars and do the same similar work, but do it for transcendental purpose. This is what sets an example. Yes, you can work. You can raise a family. You can make money. You can go to school, but do it all for Krishna. You know, everything you do should be not only for Krishna's pleasure, but as an example to everybody else. To show people how you can work for Krishna in this world. This is not an otherworldly religion. It is also meant for how to live in this world, now, with what you have, and with all your obligations. Akamo sarakamo va moksha kama udaradi. Divena bhakti yogena yujita purusham param. Yes, if you have no desires, then you're an ideal candidate for devotional service. But maybe you do have some desires. Sarvakamo. Maybe you're full of material desires. Or maybe you're an impersonalist and want liberation. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Either you have no desires or all desires or desire for liberation. In either case, Tivrena Bhakti Yogina, engage in intensely enthusiastic attempt to serve Krishna and please Him. Yajeta Purusham Param, worship the Supreme Lord with whatever attitude you have. Pure, impure, pious, sinful, whatever, worship Krishna. Engage enthusiastically in Krishna's service. That's what the devotees are teaching, because that's what Krishna is teaching. It's the desire that makes the difference. A person, Prabhupada says, in Krishna consciousness and a person not in Krishna consciousness are differentiated by different desires, not necessarily by what they're doing. Don't, and so therefore do not judge Vaishnavas superficially. He may be sitting in the corner chanting day and night, but is he actually fulfilling the desire of the Lord by doing that? And the one who's running around passionately, maybe he's actually serving the pleasure of the Lord. Who are we to judge? We should not judge Vaishnavas superficially. Vaishnavya kriya mudra vigyaya nabujai. Even the most wise sage cannot judge the behavior and the words and the attitude of a Vaishnava, because these are transcendental. Someone who's engaged in Krishna service should not be judged superficially. So when Vaishnavas engage in what seems to be material work, it is very dangerous to criticize them for that, because they are doing this for Krishna's service. He may even act exactly like the ignorant person who is too much attached to material activities, Prabhupada says. But one is engaged in such activities for the satisfaction of his sense gratification, whereas the other is engaged for the satisfaction of Krishna. This is the difference, that the intention of your endeavor is to please Krishna. Then you're properly engaged. So we really have to work on our intention. This is a matter of attitude. We should intend, we should always want that what we do is for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Then we're properly situated. No matter what our competence is, no matter what our good or bad karma is, that does not matter ultimately. What matters is that we decide that my life is meant for Krishna. That is the adhikar for being engaged in the process of practicing pure devotional service, is that you actually want to dedicate everything you have to Krishna. Otherwise, if we ignore Krishna or give him just superficial lip service, like people who go to church once a week just because they're supposed to, and their reputation will be tainted if they don't show up in church. This is materialistic religion. Real religion, real spiritual life rather, is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week business. It's not something you just do once a week. We have to, from the moment we wake up to the moment we sleep, every single day, be working for Krishna. This is quite demanding. Even a person who's working two or three jobs, he must have some time to himself. You may work 18 hours a day, but at least you have 6 hours for yourself. But the Vaishnavas don't have 1 minute for themselves. Avyarta kala tvam. The symptom of someone who's actually taking shelter of Krishna is that he doesn't waste one moment. Not one moment is given over to Maya. Every minute of his time is given just to Krishna. Even in sleep, a devotee doesn't want to sleep at all, but even when he is asleep, he's thinking about Krishna. That's a pure devotee. He's actually chanting Hare Krishna in his sleep even. That's attraction to Krishna. And that's the kind of example should be set to the people. Don't be ashamed of Krishna consciousness that people won't appreciate. They may not appreciate, but this is the example to set. To act like a devotee, dress like a devotee, work like a devotee, and talk like a devotee, not like a non-devotee. You know, not that we have to be like other people, otherwise they won't be attracted. You may attract them, but what are you attracting them to? If you're not presenting pure Krishna consciousness, what's the use of attracting people? Better to attract less people, but to attract them to the right thing. Prabhupada again, in his example, when he came to America, he was advised by some of the other Swamis in New York, the Mayavadis, that Swamiji, you know, here in the West, you have to dress differently. You have to wear pants and a coat. You have to eat with a knife and a fork. And actually, nobody can survive on a vegetarian diet in these cold countries. You have to change your ways. Nobody will take you seriously. You're too esoteric, too foreign. And Prabhupada did not listen to any of that. He didn't change his clothes. He didn't start eating with a knife and a fork. And he didn't change his diet. He didn't compromise on anything. He adjusted. He did radical things. He allowed men and women to live in the same ashram. He, as a sannyasi, was involved in getting his own disciples married to each other. Unprecedented things. Even the fact of him just crossing the ocean to go to the Malecha countries. Not allowed for a sannyasi in tradition. Prabhupada did these radical things, but he never compromised on the essential principles. He did what he did because it's what pleased Krishna. Krishna wanted him. His guru ordered him on behalf of Krishna, go across the ocean. Throw away all your principles, your mundane principles of a sannyasi cannot cross the ocean. Go and cross it for the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one else could do that. Many great Vaishnavas were among Prabhupada's godbrothers. Many of them probably went back to Godhead. But not one of them could do what Prabhupada did, to take the risk to go to the Western countries and actually make himself accessible and tolerate the faults of these barbaric people. Prabhupada did that and no one else could. They were very cultured, very learned, many of his godfathers, but not one of them, even the three that went, they couldn't accomplish anything much. Because they couldn't deal, they didn't know how to deal with the Westerners, they couldn't get off their high-cultured pedestals to come down and deal with real people in a real way, which Prabhupada did. He lived among the derelicts and the drug addicts, in the worst part of the worst city of the world. And he turned these people, some of them, into pure Vaishnavas and gave them, you know, the Brahma Gayatri mantra and turned them into Brahmanas. Nobody else was able to do that. Prabhupada perfectly followed Krishna's instruction there, the instruction that is here in this verse, that you can do the same thing that the materialists are doing. You can act apparently just as they're acting, But you're doing it, if you're doing it just for Krishna's pleasure, it's perfectly transcendental. And it will transform these people by setting the proper example for them. This is how a person in this world should act. You should work for the pleasure of Krishna. Work hard. Sacrifice everything for the glory and the pleasure of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments?
Attitudes are very important.
Yes.
So you go by heart.
Yes.
But if rules and regulations are not set, things become very difficult.
Yes. So the acharyas in our line, they do establish and insist on strict regulative principles, strict discipline in devotional service. Practice of devotional service is a disciplined matter. We take vows promising not to do certain things. And we accept spiritual authority. We take a guru not just as a formality, but we accept the guru as direct representative of Krishna. And we should always respect and obey our gurus. So it's a very strict discipline. And that's how our, you know, those who have established this Krishna consciousness, the previous acharyas, and the Prabhupada and his followers who are representing these previous authorities, they're also obliged to insist on this discipline. So it's required. You know, we have to be obedient, cooperative, and yes, the attitude must be there. It's not just, you say yes, it's coming from the heart, that's true. But if you have a right attitude, if you are sincere and want to dedicate yourself, then you should be very happy to accept this life of regulation, of reasonable regulation, discipline for spiritual purposes, not just slavery for no good reason, or materialistic discipline just to make money or win an election or fight a war against some mundane enemy. We're accepting discipline but for the highest sublime transcendental purpose. We're attaining love of God. That's worth taking some trouble for. So if I have a good attitude, I really want to do the right thing, I want to become a devotee of Krishna, and I want to have a proper attitude toward Krishna's devotees, then I should be very happy to be offered this opportunity of a disciplined practice that will bring me to the right consciousness and also establish my behavior, my activities can be channeled directly toward the pleasure of Krishna if I accept this discipline. So it's not two contrary things. One on one side, just attitude, and the other side, having to actually do something, discipline. They go perfect, they're complementary. If you have the attitude, you should accept the discipline. And if your attitude is not right, if you accept the discipline anyway, your attitude will change. Now, you can correct your attitude by accepting the discipline. They go together, they're not contrary. Yes, sir.
Prabhuji, it would also mean that those people who follow regulative principles pretend to be devotees. I mean, they follow regulative principles very strictly, but at the same time pretend to be devotees.
And that's possible. Don't say that anybody who follows regulative principles is pretending, but no, it's possible to be a pretender and still make an external show of following principles. You may have the strength of character. A person can be materially a gentleman and spiritually a rascal. He may have basically good character. You know, and he's cultured enough not to break the gross regulative principles. And that's probably his samskara. He probably has that built into his karmic programming, that he's in the mode of goodness. But even that person can be seriously deviant in a spiritual way. He can be believing in false doctrine or have some very materialistic motive that he wants to use people in, you know, for himself, for his own aggrandizement, even while being very sattvic and disciplined externally. So that's possible. In that way, a person can be pretending to be a real sincere devotee when actually there's a serious streak of insincerity in him. Something beyond just external observance of rules. There has to be something good in the heart, too. You know, even people like Stalin, he was very disciplined. Hitler, he was a vegetarian. You know, but there were demons.
Hitler
was vegetarian. Yes?
Hitler.
Yeah, vegetarian. Yes?
He like Vedic dharmas.
Something, yeah.
But he is atheist.
Yes, big demon.
Demon.
Yes.
He kills so many thousands of human beings.
Yes?
Millions.
Huh?
Millions. And Stalin was also like that.
Millions.
Stalin was so self-controlled that he could have his, you know, operation done on him without any anesthesia. Because he thought the doctors were going to kill him. He was so paranoid that he had to have an operation on his back, muscle or something. He refused to take any anesthetic. Fully awake, he let them cut him open. And he tolerated. He had great strength of, you know, physical, great strength of discipline. But another big demon. Okay.
Be a good devotee or to be a real Vaishnava means that the regulative principle should be followed with the heart, actually. I mean, it should be...
In the heart, I should be thinking that I just want to become, you know, situated as a speck of dust at Krishna's lotus feet. I have no material purpose in this world. That attitude should be there. At least we should be working toward that.
But that we impose these regulative principles
to purify the heart. But you can do it externally and still your heart can be steel framed. Yeah. Anyway, if you hear and chant Krishna's name sincerely, that will purify your heart. Even if you're impure to start with. Okay? Hare Krishna. Yes, Bhagavan.
If judging Vaishnavas from external activities, if a devotee is feeling that his fellow Vaishnavas are treating him more, giving him more respect than actually what he deserves, and he knows that I'm a popular channel and this is and that sort of treatment that is given to him, he is seeing that it's becoming detrimental to his own devotional service.
Yes.
So then, what should he do? Even if he proclaims, "See, I'm not what you're thinking. I'm really, really, really bad. Much bad what you're thinking." Then they will think, they will take it as a virtue. Oh, you're so great. You're saying that you're fallen and all that. So you're very great. So the more he says that he's fallen, the more they'll think that he is not.
Yes, Madhavendra Puri had this problem, that he was trying to avoid honor from anybody. Wherever he went, his reputation was ahead of him. Was there before he reached the place. You know, and everybody was worshipping him, and he very much didn't like it. But if Krishna forces that on you, there's nothing you can do. Krishna forces that people respect you. It's hard to avoid. Because a Vaishnava is honorable. Dira dira jana priyo. He's dear to the gentlemen and the ruffians. You know, so a Vaishnava has to sometimes just accept it and tolerate it, that people are honoring him. He doesn't like it. That's his saving grace, is that he's not attracted to it. If he was susceptible to becoming attracted to people honoring him, then he'd be in great danger. Yeah. And that's a weak devotee who hasn't given up the desire for prestige. And if he gets any, he's going to get in trouble. But a devotee who's actually humble, although it's painful for him, to have to accept respect, at least he's safe, because he's actually humble.
In that case, that you said.
I mean, you know, you're asking what should he do? There's some cases mentioned by Sanatana Goswami and Brihad Bhagavatamrita that sometimes devotees intentionally do bad things. Not bad things, but they make mistakes. So that people will think badly of them. And Jatabharata Bharat Maharaj is given as one of the examples. That in one sense, you can say that he intentionally became attached to an animal and became an animal in his next life, just so people won't think that he was so perfect. You know, he wanted people to honor him so much, so therefore he had a small fall down. You know, became an animal just to get people away from him, you know, respecting him too much. That's one interpretation that's given.
Is that Jiva Goswami?
No, Sanatana Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You think it's Jiva Goswami? Maybe I'm a little confused. Maybe it's Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami. Can't remember. Going on. It's something I was working with.
This was mentioned that sometimes great devotees.
Sanatana Goswami.
Good, but not about Jadavara that he mentioned. But it is in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but even Yudhishthira performed sometimes.
Yudhishthira, I think several people are mentioned. 3 or 4 different ones are mentioned in that purport. Yeah.
One of
Yes.
He swore himself, I am madman.
Yes.
The people always
chastise
him.
Huh?
Okay. I'm not familiar with him, but okay. Yes. Anyway, sometimes devotees do that. They act in such a way as to get people to stop honoring them too much. Not to be imitated. You know, we shouldn't, you know, become criminals just so people don't honor us. We'll be punished by Maya if we do that. Okay. Yes.
So it's very easy to see Stalin and other people's acting demonically, though they are very regulated.
Yes.
But how do we know the attitude of a devotee is very nice to us?
We in many cases don't know. We don't know because we're not perfect ourselves. We don't know how perfect others are. We don't have the power to see inside their hearts. We can only see the outside. Maybe we have some psychological insight. But most of us don't have the vision to see right inside someone's heart underneath everything. Most of us cannot. Therefore, if we cannot judge, if we can't really determine, then we should give the benefit of the doubt. Don't assume that anyone is any Vaishnava is faulty, because you never know. It may look like a fault to you, but you may be mistaken. So if we don't know, if we can't clearly ascertain, or to the extent that we can't clearly understand a person's position, we should take the risk of giving him too much respect, rather than take the risk of offending someone who does not deserve to be offended. Now, Vaishnava Aparada is very serious. If we don't clearly, if we're not able to distinguish who is elevated and who is not, or how elevated each devotee is, then assume that they're elevated and give them all respect. Better to make a mistake in that side, to give too much respect than too little. Better to be cheated by somebody because you respected him too much than to commit a Vaishnava Aparada and go to hell. Better to get cheated. Better to be misused by somebody than to commit Vaishnava Aparada. Even though, you know, we may think, well, then I'm not very expert. I'm letting people misuse me. But for a Vaishnava, that's better. Agent. If you have discrimination, if Krishna is giving you intelligence to distinguish, then you can use it. But if you don't know, you can't tell how advanced someone is or whether someone is faulty or not, then better play it safe and don't assume the fault is there. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.